Good morning.
Yes, I think it's on.
We have worked wonders. My radio mic is working. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rachel, and if you don't know me, I usually worship at St. Saviour's over there, and it's a great treat to be with you all today. As Adrian said, we're all staying in today, and I'm walking around a little bit. I've got a radio mic, and I'm going to be inviting us to contribute. Just, I'll have a few questions. This is not a children's service, it's an all-age service, so I'd just love to hear from folks as we go through. But let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and I do pray that as you choose to reveal yourselves to us today, we might have open hearts and minds, we might see images, pictures, we might hear you. With all of our senses, Lord, we come open to whatever you want to show us today. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in this passage, Jesus is talking about a journey, about his disciples going out to some new places. So earlier on in the chapter, he sent them out to go and talk about the gospel. So I have been, I get to travel a lot with my work at the moment. So I'm always packing and unpacking and packing and I get a little bit tired of it, to be honest. So I wouldn't mind a bit of help packing as though, you know, to go on a journey. So I have remembered my suitcase, so I brought that. But I'm just wondering, when you go on a trip, what else do you take with you? Who, anyone? What else do I, might I need?
Tickets.
Tickets. Passports. Now, yeah, passport. Now, my tickets are on my phone, but I think I might have left it near where I was sitting, somewhere around there. Can anyone find my phone for me? Do you mind? I think I was sitting here, but I'm doing the talk, so I can't. Would you mind going to, there's a phone, it's near my bag, it's, what else might I need? Someone say passport. I think I have actually put my passport somewhere. Wonderfully, I can't remember where, so we're going to deal with that in a moment, because I actually need it. Thank you very much. Okay, what else? I keep my tickets on my phone. Yeah. What else might I need? What if it's hot? Is that a spare fan? Could I borrow it? That would be amazing. Because I'm actually really warm. Thank you so much. What else do I need to protect myself? We've all been wearing them this week. Thank you so much. Sun cream. Thank you. Now. Oh, gosh. What have I done with the sun cream? I brought some sun cream. Has anyone... Did I put it there? I'd love some sun cream. Thank you. Okay, so I've got my phone. I've got my fan. Can you bring it? I need the sun cream. Did someone say something else?
A hat.
Where have I put my hat? I was travelling this week. I've left my stuff everywhere. Has anyone seen a hat anywhere? Oh, perfect. I think I've got my hat. Actually, what else do I need to protect my eyes?
Sunglasses.
Where are my sunglasses? Oh, Adrian. Can you manage to get those? Thank you, darling. Okay. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't ever used to like travelling without my cuddly toy when I was little. And certainly, I don't know, some of you have, when my children were small, we had to go and buy spare cuddly toys because we forgot to take them on holiday once, and that was awful. I brought a cuddly toy. He's quite clean. He was washing his hands by the hand sanitizer just earlier. If anyone's seen, yes, great stuff. Lovely. Yeah, could you, I don't want to go without him. Keeps me cozy. Thank you very much. Now, look, if I'm going for a few days, I can't just take one outfit, can I? Might not be very pleasant. So I probably need maybe a second shirt. I've left it in the wardrobe at the back. Is my shirt in that cupboard? Thank you. I've got a shirt. Thanks, Oliver. Spare shirt. And probably, thank you ever so much, because, you know, it might rain, it might be, I'm just change of shoes. Now I think I should take some sandals or some flip-flops. I think I was talking to Noel earlier. Might Noel... You haven't got my flip-flops, have you, Noel? Were you trying to borrow them? Yeah. Well, a size 6. They'd look lovely in those. They're Brazilian.
You might need them on your
Thank you. Right, I think I am good to go. Do I look ready? Yes. What were you going to say, darling? Oh, my gosh, my bottle of water. I had forgotten that. Do you mind going here? It's so hot, isn't it? Even if I was only staying in England, I'd definitely need all these things. This is a great team here. Thank you. I'm just going to hook that on my finger. Thank you. So, I feel I've got what I need, and I can now go on a trip. Excellent stuff. You've got to have everything you need. Except, we have a problem in this passage. Well, earlier on in chapter 10, when Jesus is talking to his disciples about going on a trip to some new places, he has some instructions for what they can take. Can anyone remember? Can anyone look it up?
What can they take? Well, they're allowed to pack. I think he says something about don't take any sandals. Well, okay, better put those down then. And I think he said, I forgot, there's one other thing. I need some money. Surely I need some money. I left my money with someone in this congregation who I think is very, very trustworthy. Who might have left my money with? One of our elders who's very trustworthy. I left it with you, didn't I say? Can I come and get my money? Thanks, Eunice. Thank you very, very much. I've actually got some Ghanaian money there. Bless you. Except that in the passage earlier, what does he say about money? What does Jesus say? Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? So I better put that down there. So what about a change of clothes? Surely I can have a spare shirt. No? Am I not allowed a spare shirt? Okay, well, if I don't need that, then I don't need my suitcase. Oh, gosh. And if I... No spare shirt. No spare clothes. Oh, dear. I feel a bit empty. I don't think I want to go on a trip like this. So Jesus, in saying, don't take all that stuff, is saying, do make yourself dependent. Make yourself dependent on the people you're going to go and meet. We don't live in a society where dependence on things and people is the idea, is it? In fact, our whole society is structured to make our lives completely independent, to set up a life where we're invincible. I've got everything I need. And that is also really problematic because that is not possible. There are some people here, maybe you, don't have a choice about having to depend on people. I don't know if I like the idea, though, of having to be dependent. Well, I mean, just I'm curious to know, why anyone else feel good about needing people for everything? Leaning on people? How do you feel about being dependent? Genuinely interested.
Scared.
Bit scared. Why is that, Lee?
Something might go wrong.
Yeah.
I might get hurt.
Yeah. We want to be in control quite often. Those of us who can, we quite like to keep in control. I like to have all my stuff with me, so I don't need to ask anyone to help me out. And Jesus is saying the opposite. So the disciples are going out on a mission, and he's saying, you need to be dependent on people. Although, in the reading we've just heard, interestingly, there are two very, very important things that the disciples are carrying with them. The verses say, whoever welcomes you when you get there, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, i.e. Jesus. And whoever welcomes me welcomes, what does it say? The one who sent me, i.e. God. So in a way, I might not have those material things, but I've got two really important pieces of luggage. I've got Jesus and I've got God. So wherever I go, they are in me. I am carrying them into the places I go. And that makes a big difference to how I show up when I get there. Let's have a look at how Jesus showed up to people, just as a way of example. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Enemy territory, enemy tribe. And he arrives, and the first thing he does when he meets her is he makes himself dependent on her. He needs her before he even speaks to her. Do you remember what he needs her for?
Water.
He needs a drink. So the first thing he does is he needs her. He's dependent. She gives him a drink, and you might think, if Jesus is on a mission, he'll say, now then, let's have a little look at how you're leading your life and what you've got wrong, and there's some things I need to correct because you're being very sinful. And he doesn't do that. In the moment of her encounter with him, just his very presence helps her to see and to understand that she's valued and that she is known and that she is seen, and then the transformation can take place. Matthew himself, the writer of the passage that we're reading today, was a tax collector, outcast, hated, not invited to anyone's house for dinner, I imagine. Jesus meets him. He doesn't go up to him and say, if I could just interrupt your work, there's a couple of things I need to talk through with you because actually you've got a lot wrong. Let me list your sins. Let me tell you how you need to change. He doesn't do that. He says, follow me. And there's something in the presence of how Jesus is with Matthew that Matthew thinks, yeah, I am going to follow you. And later on, where does Jesus go to chat more with Matthew? He goes to his house. So Jesus is then dependent on Matthew's hospitality. And the woman who pours expensive perfume on Jesus' head, again at a dinner party, Jesus is enjoying other people's hospitality. He's putting himself in a place of dependence. She pours this expensive perfume on his head and people say, don't be ridiculous, what a waste of money. He is dependent also on her for refreshment. It's hot, he's been traveling, and she washes his hair. So he's in the place of need, and she knows that she can be honest with him, be real and be very, very brave in that company. And so it goes on. So there's something here about Jesus saying to us, can you make yourself dependent to the degree, and for all of us that's going to look very, very different, so that in needing something from those people you go and meet, something extraordinary can take place. There's something about that moment where hospitality occurs, even although Jesus is not hosting, he enables hospitality to take place. And I'm just looking for my Henri Nouwen quote. Here it is. Henri Nouwen, who many of you will have heard and read, I'm sure. He says, hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It's not to bring people over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines. I know that when I was in my younger faith, I thought it was my job to get people over that line. They've got to become Christians. And so if I encountered people and talked about my faith, I often strayed into, frankly, judgment. You're wrong. I've discovered this. Let me tell you how to get there. I don't like to remember myself in that way. I don't like it. It's not to say that we're not to share Jesus, but we're to look at how Jesus modeled that. And it was just by himself. We are carrying Jesus. We have him in us on our journeys. Our journey might be talking to the person next door, a best friend. It might be going to the other side of the world. But how do we embody that life of Jesus so that people don't need us to say, this is what you've got wrong? They just feel there's a transformation. So being dependent, so something amazing can happen. And then finally, what if we are on the other side of the door, as it were? We are the welcomers. Well, it's interesting because it seems that we don't need lavish food, an expensive ensuite bathroom. We don't need that. Jesus says, if all you do when someone comes asking for help is offer a glass of water, that's enough. I've got to be honest, if one of you invites me to your house and I, you know, set aside some time, might dress up a bit, get ready, bring you a gift, and you say, lovely to see you, here's a glass of water, I'd be a bit fed up with that. I was hoping for, you know, nice home-cooked food. He's saying, it's enough. What does that remind us of? There's a story in the Old Testament where there was someone who needed something and the person had very little to give. Thank you. Elijah, yeah. So he's in this land where there's famine and he's hungry and he needs a place to stay. And there's a widow, a woman who is just gathering up the last bits of few sticks that she can find to build a fire to cook the final meal that she and her son are likely to ever have, because they're starving. Once that meal is cooked, she's run out of flour and she's run out of oil. So they're probably going to die after that meal. So this is a woman and a child cooking their final meal, and then a man comes along hungry, and he says, can you give me something to eat? And she's like, I just can't. And he says, just make the bread with what you have. And she does so. There's something in her spirit that stirs to cause her to go, okay. And she does. And bread is provided and made, and there's enough for the three of them, and then that flour and that oil never run out until the end of that famine, when there's enough for everyone, the resources return. Elijah made himself dependent on her, and in that generosity from the little she had, extraordinary things took place. So it's not easy to be dependent. We don't have to have a lot to give away. And I know that culturally, the idea of being a stranger showing up at someone's house again here, we're not used to that. There are places in the world where that can happen. Dorothy Day, I don't know if you've heard of her, she was a Catholic activist, socialist. She dedicated her whole life to caring for people who needed care. And she mentioned, she talks about the fact that in the early church, when people shared their homes with people, they would keep a room which they called the stranger's room. And when someone came needing shelter or a bed for the night, it wasn't that they thought, oh, we might quite like this person, or they might have something of Jesus in them. She said the idea was they believed that the person coming to their house was actually Jesus. And this I find challenging, because we have people to stay. I'm going to be honest, I don't always want them to come. Anyone else ever feel like that? Might just be me. You know, kind of wouldn't mind just like watching a bit of telly or need some time on my own, but we said they could come. What if I see that visitor not as a bit like Jesus, but actually Jesus? And similarly, when I go to encounter other people, what if I go, well, I am Jesus. I'm, if you like, carrying Jesus in me. I'm representing him and God. What changes might take place? We don't need to bash people over the head with the gospel. We don't need to get them over any line. So, perhaps for some of us, it's about learning to be a bit more dependent than we like to be. For others, thinking, I don't have much, but actually I don't need much to make someone feel welcome. We can, in our encounters in that way, make space for real transformation when we welcome Jesus and when we represent him to one another. Amen.
Everybody, just a chance to contemplate what Rachel has been sharing as the choir brings.